Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got 25 more minutes, actually 24 and a half more minutes of this program left today, and we thank you for listening on this Tuesday, November the 14th, 2023. Fred Jackson's in studio with me, with Ray Pritchard. Ray is in Kansas City, Kansas. We're in Tupelo, MS, and Steve Jordahl is like 5 feet away from me.
I am.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yes, sir.
And
present and accounted for.
Rocking the Paisley shirt today, Steve.
It's my Madagascar shirt. It's flowers.
Living up to your... You know, guys, we ought to all join in and buy Steve a...
something normal?
Yeah, well, no, another Paisley shirt.
I'll take it.
Or, yeah,
I'll
we really should.
A high-dyed t-shirt or something like that.
I am from California.
That's right.
But you lived in Madagascar.
I did. I spent 5 years overseas as missionaries, four of them in Madagascar, one in France.
What's your one memory about Madagascar that stands out?
We lived in a house that was across the street from some hills. The city is built around a mountain, not a mountain, it's a large hill. At the top of it is a castle that the king and queen of Madagascar back in the day used to live in back in the 1800s, but it's still there. And I could walk up that hill. I loved walking in the mountains and rock climbing, and I got a little bit of a reputation there. They called me Steve. And when my dad would come around and everything to see him, they called him Papa de Steve. So
now, is that Madagascar is off Africa or off India?
Africa.
So are the people there black, or are they Indian, or what?
They're black. There's a caste system there, not like an Indian caste system, but there's racial tension on the island. The
between people, who?
Lighter-skinned black people and darker-skinned black people. The Mariner tribe and the, I can't remember what the name of the tribe was, but.
Boy, you just can't escape this.
You can't. It's like when Satan got Eve, he got all of us, you know? Yeah.
What do you say, Ray?
It's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the history of the world.
Yeah.
Tribes warring against tribes for all kind of
But they have a history. They have a history in Madagascar of suffering, of being martyred for the scriptures, for the Bible, Christian Bible. Back in the day, missionaries came and introduced that, and they fell foul of the government, and they...
Why, are they Hindu?
No, they're animist. They were more ancestor worship and that kind of thing.
But why did they not like Christians?
Well, I saw it as a threat because, well, Satan's in the middle of all of it, you know. But they threw them off cliffs, killed them. There's a movie they made when I was there. It's called The Book That Would Not Burn.
Were you worried about that happening to y'all?
No, this was in the 1800s. This is long
Okay,
long
by the
ago.
Time you got there, at least they were you were welcomed.
Yeah, it had been a French colony for a while. And
gotcha.
Now, there was some tensions. We went through a couple of...
we're talking about the 60s here, when you were there,
70s? 69 to 74.
Okay.
We went through a couple change of government, violent overthrows of government. I remember being at a movie theater one time, and they turned the theater off and said, go home. And as we walked out, a bunch of students carrying sticks and bricks and a bunch of stuff came rushing past. They were going toward the downtown, and they ended up taking over the police department, and the police just set fire to the building. It was awful. But, yeah.
Right, you've traveled the world. You ever been over there to Madagascar?
I have been to Africa, but never to Madagascar.
Gotta go.
Sounds like a pretty exciting place.
Naturally, what's the climate like?
It's tropical. The Tropic of Capricorn goes right through the bottom third of it. So, but at where we were in the tropic zone, so noon would be right straight overhead. It's warm. It has rainy seasons, and it just like you'd expect in Central America, maybe Brazil or something like that. We had cyclones. That's what they call them down in the Indian Ocean. Hurricanes.
Hurricanes. Call them cyclones.
Uh-huh. And wonderfully kind people. Just really, mm-hmm. really kind. Very
so were your
people.
Parents missionaries with a particular denomination or something?
They went out with the Conservative Baptist Foreign Mission Society, CBFMS, at the time. It changed its name to Venture, I think, at one point. And I don't know what they're called now, Ray, but I think they still send missionaries.
Every Christian organization of yesteryears changed their name to reflective of some kind of water or something, you know,
maybe.
Like Waterbrook Ministries. Yeah. Flowing, you know, on a streaming water, river of life.
I'll have to figure out what they're called these days.
Everybody's gone with that.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, that's so fond memories.
Yeah, terrific memories. I was like 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It's just the ideal time to
be impressed. Did you establish a church? Did you have anybody come? I mean, did it work?
My dad's job was to translate seminary material from English to Malagasy through French. So he taught pastors. He would travel.
I considered that myself.
Yeah.
But I decided not to go that direction.
Not much of a challenge.
Yeah. Well, they're transferring it to French.
Yeah.
I took high school French. I was going to go down
the road. Well, I think it's a pretty amazing accomplishment because he had to learn French. He didn't speak any French in, like, 1967. They went to Canada, to Quebec for summer and went to intensive school there, and then they went to south of France to Albertville, where they had the Olympics many years later. 1969, we were in Albertville, France. We went to Vevey, Switzerland that summer, and all these were just language-intensive courses. We were a year.
So your dad is learning French
yes.
to get ready to go to Madagascar
To learn Malagasy, because there was no direct English to Malagasy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, God bless him. That's commitment.
Yeah.
Fred, would he have been very far from where you live? They speak you're an English speaking. Nova Scotia's English speaking, right?
No. Well, they have Acadian communities.
Yeah.
So in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. New Brunswick is actually the only truly bilingual province in Canada. A lot of people think Quebec. They do have people who speak English in Quebec. But it's dual language in New Brunswick. So Acadians, and from the Acadians came the Cajuns in Louisiana.
We had that as a trivia question last Friday.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yep. Yeah, the Cajuns in South Louisiana and coast of Mississippi and Alabama. That's where most they
came from Canada?
Their people originated from Canada.
You're saying, Fred, they moved from where?
They escaped from Canada when the British got nasty.
Okay.
They didn't move.
They moved,
all right, but they were running from the
Louisiana was French.
Yeah.
And so that that was the obvious magnet for them.
You hear it all the time, Ray. It's Boudin, eh?
If you talk about climate whiplash,
yes.
You load up the family to go from Nova Scotia or where down in,
to Louisiana.
Where are we going, Dad? Yeah.
So where it's warm, son.
Right.
Let me get down there.
And there ain't no Brits there.
Dad, so, Fred, when are we talking, like the 1700s? The 1800s?
Going back 1700s, yeah.
Wow.
Or
that's
earlier.
Arcadians. That's Arcadians from French Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's short. I think that's short.
So there was a massive migration from New Brunswick, you're saying?
New Brunswick and Nova Scotia.
Escaping the British, right?
Do they stop in St. Louis for the night?
From where I come from, Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia, and there is a Fortress Louisbourg, which traded hands back and forth between the Brits and the French and went back and forth. For the most part, the Brits would win it, and then they give it back to the French, and because there were negotiations, you know, politicians, and it would go back and forth, back and forth. By the way, if you ever do go to Nova Scotia, make sure you make a stop, because they've restored most of that fortress, Louisbourg, and they'll do things like they bake bread like they used to in those days and all that sort of thing. It is incredible what has been done there. But that's the history of Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. And, of course, the main French province is in...
Do they have good jambalaya?
Beg pardon?
Does it get jambalaya?
Not lately.
I think that happened when they got down. You know this already, don't you, Steve?
Yes.
When they got down to arrived in Louisiana and began to ingrain in the
assimilate
in the region,
get the crawfish and
the current
oysters.
Crop, right?
Yes.
You can't grow the same thing down there.
Mm-hmm. That's so. All right, Steve. What is your first story for us?
Let us talk about.
Lettuce?
Lettuce. No, I had these in order here. I have a check mark on one of them that I wanted to start with. I want to talk to you about, well, let's start with this. California is having a problem with crime, as a whole lot of other places are. You've seen this, so shoplifting, the people that go into
stores
and they
steal.
Walk out with a whole bunch of stuff. So there's a place up near Sacramento County. They have a Target store there. And they were upset with the way that the store was getting robbed. So they went and talked to the local police. They said, we want you to help us, but you can't arrest anybody in the store. We don't want to make a scene. The sheriff, his name is Jim Cooper. He's just kind of a little frustrated with them because he says, we don't tell you how to run your business. Don't tell us how to run ours, basically.
Yeah, I read that story last night. So in Sacramento, California, that's the capital, right?
It is the capital of California.
So you have a Target retail store.
Yep.
They're being overrun, really, with shoplifters.
Yeah.
They call the cops, in this case, the sheriff. The sheriff comes out there, and Target says, don't arrest them in the store because it gives us bad publicity.
Yeah, go take them out back in the rain where nobody can watch you do
what
it.
What kind of, Fred?
You know,
if I was a sheriff, I'd say, you're on your own.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Listen, you guys say you want our help,
right,
but you don't want us to make any arrests. Take care of the problem yourself.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Now, I know that you can get news stories and from some place far from you, and you get this idea that things are far worse than they really are, or far better, I don't know. In the case of California, they are experiencing such a rise, especially in the big cities, in carjackings, armed robbery. Yesterday, in San Francisco, you know, they're hosting this big worldwide economic summit of some kind. What's it called?
APEC.
Anyway, so you've got international press come in to cover it. Did you see this reporting team from...
Was it Portugal?
No, they were from Yugoslavia or somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there. They're there to report on what's happening. Well, they get robbed yesterday at gunpoint in broad daylight in San Francisco, and the thieves take their cameras, strip them, but everything but their clothes.
Wait a minute. I thought California had gun control. How did that happen?
Well,
that's right. How did the bad guys get the guns?
Bad guys don't care about the laws.
That's right.
But anyway, I'm just saying, then 2 days ago, there was a fella in Los Angeles. These thieves and bad guys, for lack of a better term, follow him home. Wait a minute now. I don't know that they followed him home. He lived in a gated community. You may have seen this. It made the news. Well, I guess they crawled over the gate.
Or snuck in behind the bar, maybe.
And so when he pulls up in his driveway, they try to rob him.
But surprise.
But he had a gun.
Yes.
He had a gun.
Right.
But I think they fired at him a couple of times and missed.
And he fired at them, too.
Yes. But he had not had a gun, he would have had to surrender everything he had, or either he and his family would be dead.
That's right.
But this kind of thing is happening. Oakland, California is unlivable anymore. The NAACP, who represents African-American people in the town, they're trying to get rid of the black district attorney because she's a wokester who doesn't want to punish crime and prosecute crime. And so you have the civil rights NAACP organization going after the black DA, mm-hmm. who's a Soros fund.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know, and they're saying we got to support the police.
Yeah.
Because otherwise our town's it's going to Hades.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm saying is overall in California, it's every day violent crime is on the rise. Go ahead.
Yeah, Steve. And in a lot of other locations, too. We've done the stories in recent days, though. Here's another result of what's going on out there. Gun sales in America are going through the roof. People who never thought that they would buy a gun.
You got to protect yourself.
Yes,
right?
That's what's happening. And because of so many properties being broken into, we're all seeing these, I guess you would call Ring videos now.
Yeah, Ring doorbells. Yeah.
Ring doorbells, people walking up, et cetera, et cetera. And people are just saying, we need protection for ourselves. Because the police can't look after everybody at that moment.
And we have a problem since the Defund the Police movement. We have a problem in many parts of the country with the demoralization of police and sheriff's departments. They can't recruit new cops or deputies.
Yes.
This same sheriff, his name is Jim Cooper, I said, he had a lot better success with Safeway. Safeway was having the same problem, but they said, come on in and go ahead and do your arrest and everything. And he said the suspects were issued notices of trespass, which is what the California law allows them to do. And he says none of the suspects, this is the sheriff speaking, none of the suspects were homeless. They all indicated they simply didn't think theft was a big deal. And that other people were stealing all of the time.
Number one, they're right. I mean, and they're right. Evidently, it isn't a big deal in California and in most of the cities. So what they see is everybody else, quote, everybody else doing it and getting away with it. And I want to ask a question, Tim. Going back to that Target store where this whole discussion started, why do you call the police anyway?
Right.
If you're going to say to them, don't come into our store, it seems kind of counterintuitive to me. First of all, that's going to really tick the police off.
Yes,
it
did.
Called out. It did, didn't it?
It did. Oh, yeah. The sheriff.
They wanted him to stand outside the door.
Sheriff of the county. He's going public with this.
Yeah. They wanted him to stand outside the door, catch him, and take him around back where nobody was watching, and then arrest him there.
Yeah, because they didn't want to. Target manager, I guess, didn't want to have him arrested in the store because it'd be bad press. For them, I don't think that's bad press for them. I think that's bad press for the bad guys. But
wouldn't the message get around, Tim, if they posted videos? Okay, we caught these guys shoplifting and these guys. Wouldn't the message get out?
Yeah.
If you want to shoplift, don't go to Target because you're going to get arrested.
Yeah. You know what about Kansas City? It's considered a large metropolitan area.
Yeah, and we have exactly the same kind of problem
here. Are you seeing that?
Yes, 100%. We're on one of these message boards, this Nextdoor message board, and every single day and two or three times a day, you know, the carjackings, the car break-ins, the Ring camera people coming up at night brandishing guns and all this. So, yeah, it's happening.
Scary. That's scary
stuff.
It
is scary. It's happening in cities across America.
You know, also in some parts of California, the people leave their cars. They leave them open. So that the thieves, the carjackers, can see that there's nothing in there to rob. Have you seen this?
What a world.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Some places they say leave them up so they can see inside. So anyway, listen, people are voting with their feet. California is a beautiful place. I've been there a few times. Steve lived there. Ray's been there many times. Mm-hmm. Fred, you've been there. As far as natural beauty goes, California has it all.
Yeah.
You know, they have it all. But the weather is generally nice throughout the state. And the gold rush, of course, in the 1800s. But that's what attracted people to California. The natural beauty, the weather, and so forth. But now people are voting with their feet and with their U-Hauls.
Yep.
And California are losing hundreds of thousands of people a year.
Yep.
I think that's their new state motto is come for the weather, leave for the politics.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the crime.
Yeah.
The crime is out of control and the taxation, the regulation. Listen, this place is a... if you ask George Soros what utopia looks like, he's going to say California. the politics of California is what he wants to see happen. to the rest of the country, it's a complete disaster. The people in California are leaving where they go, and they're primarily going to either Nevada, which is much more conservative than California. Are they going to Arizona? Are they going to Texas? Some are going to Florida even.
Tennessee.
Nashville's a growing area. So that's what people are voting with their feet. If they can get out of California, they are.
Yep.
Getting out. Go ahead, Steve. Next
All
story.
All right. The populist movement is not dead in a lot of places. You know, Trump was the populist, America first. Well, Hungary has a Hungary first president. His name is Viktor Orban. And he was interviewed on national TV back there. And I would have brought it in, but it's in Hungarian. So those of you who wanted to practice your Hungarian today, you won't hear him. But this is what he said. They were talking about this is post the war in Israel. And Hungary doesn't seem to be having the same uprise that some of these other countries do. And how is that? And so the president says, quote, "I always say we have a tolerance offer. I tell this to the Germans, the French, the Brazilians," which is from Brussels. "You did it the way you did it. Do it the way you do it. We don't want to tell you whether it's good or bad. We ask one thing, that you tolerate us doing it differently, because this is our country. This is our business. Leave us alone. Don't try to tell us who can stay in Hungary. Don't send migrants here whom it was a mistake to let into your country, and you want to get rid of them by sending them here. Don't do that. Tolerate the fact that we are a different country, that we have not made a mistake, that we have a different position, and that we don't want to become like you. We don't want mini Gazas in the districts of Budapest, and we don't want terrorist attacks, gang wars, and all the things we see in the big cities of Western Europe."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He just bingoed.
Mm-hmm.
What he's trying to do, they you can't immigrate to Hungary. I was reading about that, but you got to do it in a legal way. And you can't just walk across a border like you can in many parts of especially Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Hungary, they're trying to protect their nation, Fred, from this being overrun with mass immigration.
And some of these other European countries like Italy has cracked down because this idea of open borders is not working.
No.
See, where have I heard that before? Wait a minute now.
Right.
Right here in the U.S. of A.
Right. Well, in Hungary, listen, I mean, I hate to say I'm doomsday here, but Europe, we'll all be dead and gone. 30, 40, 50 years from now, Europe is not going to, I don't know, maybe sooner than that. Europe is not going to be, there's not going to be Germans. There's not going to be French in the traditional native sense, because the continent of Europe, especially Western Europe, is being overrun with Muslim immigrants from North Africa, from the Middle East. They're all going to Europe. They don't flood. These people from the Middle East or from Northern Africa, they don't go to the Congo.
No.
They want to go to Europe.
Yeah.
And so they're not busting the doors down to get to Saudi Arabia.
Nope.
They want to go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But why do they want to do that? Because the standard of living is much better.
Free stuff.
I've also heard you talked about it as a less violent form of jihad. They're moving there specifically to turn the country Muslim by their family growth and
takeover institutions. You couple that with the birth rate in Europe is like one or less. I mean, they don't even have a replacement level going on in Europe. That's what I mean. Less European babies being born. More of the Muslim immigrants having three and four kids. You can see there, it doesn't take but a couple of decades, and you've changed the whole continent.
Yes.
So we're just so happy that we can bring you this good news, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day here on this program. We'll see you back here tomorrow, and we hope you have a wonderful afternoon.